Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to Transfer Insight with myself and with Neil Jones as well. And yeah, if you've seen there at the start, there's a little advert. We've been promising it for ages. We finally got a very limited physical run of DVDs. In fact, can you just grab that there for us, Neil? I just want to prove that this is a thing. Because yeah, look, physical media as expertly modelled by Neil Jones of Goal. There you go.
There you go. That one. Sorry.
Nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it. We'll leave that there. Right? That's the lucky charm.
Yeah, you can get that on redmanmates.com if you're interested, or you know, presumably if you've got a dad or uncle who has a DVD player, because I realise that I don't necessarily represent the youthful
I've
end
got
of our fan base.
PS4, yeah. That's about my one, yeah. And it doesn't, the DVD, the disc drive doesn't open. So
really,
yeah, even haven't got that.
To be fair, I'm my original PS4. Yeah, it spits DVDs out, but the other one does. But I've also got the digital version of the PS5, which is, so that would be no good to me if I got rid of my PS4. Anyway, yeah, you can get involved with that. Right, look, let's talk about it. We're going to sort of look at the fallout of the transfer window. We'll discuss the individual things that happened on this show and then on Extra, which will be on the RedmanTV.com. We're going to go into some of the stories around it and what it means and the reaction and the ownership and the Michael Edwards stuff and blah. Blah, 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 and have a real deep dive on that stuff because I think that's where the interesting conversation lies. But let's start things with the captain getting his new contract.
Yeah.
I mean, look, in isolation, brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, time and interest, and I think,
yeah,
from a lot of people's perspective. And I think it's a bit much to say PR, because if it is PR, it's probably not good PR if people are seeing through it so easily. So I don't think Liverpool did it with that in mind.
I'd like to see the A-B testing on how the reaction would have been if nothing had been announced on that day. Yeah. And someone's measured that up.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we'll come on to speak about Nat Phillips at the same time, I imagine, later in the show. But if you go back and look through the reaction when it emerged that Jordan might not be signing a contract, or that there was some doubt over that, and then you compare it to the reaction when he does, it's obviously there's certain changes in between. Same with Phillips, when you sort of say, oh, they might be selling him, people say, keep him. And then when it turns out they're keeping him, then maybe some people are less impressed by that. But good news for Liverpool, I think. You know, I know I think it was a few people surprised maybe by the 4-year contract of it, but it takes him up to a fair old age, Jordan. But I think his influence is still there as a player. I know he didn't have a great game, funny enough, for the weekend, and maybe that colours some people's opinion. I thought he was pretty average against Chelsea. Yeah, he didn't really do himself justice or play as well as he could. But I think his influence is still there. I think we saw it in the Burnley game. When he's on the pitch, there seems to be a sense of security about Liverpool. There's a few players like that. Van Dijk's another one. Fabinho's another one. Alisson. And I think Jordan's very much in that category. He's still in Liverpool's best 11 for me. And if he can stay fit, then I think that will be continuing throughout the course of the season and probably next. And I think as well, you look at, you know, there probably are going to be some changes at Liverpool, and I'm sure, like we say, we'll do a deep dive, we'll talk about a few of those that maybe are coming in the next year or two, maybe even more. And I think you want people around the club that are able to make that transition quite smooth, and I think Jordan's one of those. Milner's probably one that you'd imagine is going to be phased out of Liverpool or moved into a different role at Liverpool, potentially, you know,
He's got Ronnie Moran written all over him, hasn't he?
Yeah, possibly. Sergeant Major Milner, yeah. But you look at, you're going to lose him. You've already lost someone like Lallana, who's a massive influence and an underrated, I think, loss. Even someone like Dejan Lovren, who was really good with new foreign signings because he spoke so many languages. You know, you've lost those kind of people, Gini Wijnaldum. So I think you want to keep a few of those core players who are a bit older, a bit more experienced, and know what the club's about, and are able to pass down that to the new people coming in and maintain that. And I know it's a bit of a, you know, one of those modern words, but the culture of the club. They want to keep that important. Keep that going. Well, and I think that's part of the reason why Jordan got the deal that maybe Genie didn't.
Well, it's interesting. I think you're dead right. You know, the homegrown captain doesn't hurt in those environments. No. And, you know, it's interesting that these contracts that are being signed, a lot of them, take them a year beyond Klopp.
Yeah.
Which I think provides a bit of a security blanket for whatever comes next. And you don't know that these, you know, I think as we've seen all over football, contracts don't necessarily matter. They might end up mattering more in a world where people can't afford astronomical transfer fees. But
whenever that world may come.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But knowing that you've potentially got Jordan there when Klopp moves on.
There is the alternative that it does put a new manager, let's just say Klopp does leave in 2024 and you've got a new manager who comes in and the first thing someone says to them is, Virgil's got a year left, Salah's got a year left, Jordan's got a year left, what are you going to do? You know, that does put potentially, but that's, you know, we do like to look as far into the future as we can, but I think that is still, I think there's still plenty to happen in that period. Yeah. And, you know, both in terms of the manager and the players, there's an awful lot to come at Liverpool over the next 2-3 seasons, and I think it'd be dangerous to look too far ahead. But you're right. It does. I think it does give Liverpool what it definitely gives Liverpool, and I think if Salah follows, especially, and I would say Mane as well, it gives Liverpool the core of a team that can carry them through.
Yeah.
No matter what goes on and around it, there's a very good side there that's going to be capable of challenging for honours. Is it all fifth?
Well, look at, I mean, like City are just are in the final stages of phasing their old guard out. Obviously, Fernandinho's the last one, isn't he? But, you know, they were still being competitive while their best players were still David Silva, him, Aguero,
company
still, you know, in that 32 to 34, 35 sort of bracket. So you want to, I mean, in our heads, they're still the best players because they are the best players right now. But the idea is that they're not the best players, but they carry a wealth of experience and an understanding of the culture of the club and all those things. That, so whatever Liverpool looks like down there, you've got that to call upon. You mentioned it. Let's do it. There's the timing of the announcement. Like, Jordan's on international duty, right? So
yeah.
I imagine he was with the England squads on that day.
Yeah, it would have been, yeah.
So it's clearly been done. So, I mean, what I mean is this, and again, I've seen people saying it was a disgrace, and I personally, I'm not arsed. Like, I can see it from how people might be annoyed or whatever, but they're not emotions that I feel. But for me, there was a massive missed opportunity from Liverpool Football Club here. You know, we saw lots of, like, people doing the jokes around it. If you're gonna announce Jordan Henderson in the morning and you're gonna give Nat Phillips a contract, and there's a bit more to it than that, which we'll talk about in a second, then I think you should be doing an unveiling video for one of the kitchen staff at 10 p.m. you know what I mean? Like, because talk about throwing a hand grenade, but like, it's like how you can blow out massive fires with explosives.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. Of, you know, done themselves. If someone sat in a room and said, "Let's do this on deadline day," to kind of Diffuse this or distract this, then go all in and have a laugh with it, but I think, and sit back and watch it.
I think it's difficult because I think I completely get the sort of, I wonder when it was signed, because it was reported by David Ornstein a week ago, really, wasn't it? Yeah. Or a week before that it was pretty much agreed. And I wonder when it was finalised and that interview was canned and whatever else. But when can you put it out? When can you put it out safely at that point? You know, this is when it happened, the end of August, the start of September. That's when it happened. So when can you put it, you know, when's it safe to put that out? You know, the day after transfer deadline day, when everyone's fuming and you put out Jordan Henderson, people say, well, thanks, yeah, you give us nothing yesterday and now you give us a new contract. You know, or do you wait a week and then it looks like, well, you know, thank, you've waited until the coast's clear. If you put it out the day it happens, let's say last week, then you've almost teed up sort of 3 days of longing for this sort of, oh, maybe, you know, Jordan signed a new deal, maybe there's more to come, and then there's the disappointment and it's taken away. So it's tough. It's a very modern problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you announce this new deal that people were crying for, you know, or crying out for, should I say. and it's and the timer of it's not good enough.
It's the change of the culture, though, isn't it? You're right in that, and some of this will lead into what we're doing later on. But it's that thing of people have come to expect.
Yeah,
and again, I say this is like if you're not on social media, you wouldn't have given any of this a second thought.
Yeah, exactly.
And it wouldn't have felt like a big, massive thing. Now, obviously, it does exist, and it's a massive thing, and the club are obviously using it to their advantage, and they've made a big stink about all of the new contracts they've signed.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, fair play. It's as much for the players.
Yeah, I was going to say, they probably backed themselves into a bit of a corner with that because, you know, if they just sort of, Nat Phillips, for example, if they just say, well, Nat, you're not really the star of the show, we'll just sort of put a little statement out saying you've done it. Nat Phillips said, well, hang on, Harvey Elliott got a new 5-year deal and a great, you know, Q&A on the club website. What's going on here? So you sort of have to do it. And you're right. You're right in saying, you know, if you're not part of that Twitter, and you and I both are, obviously, and a lot of people are, if you're not part of that hamster wheel where you are constantly refreshing Twitter and you do know what these little in-jokes are, and, you know, I got sent the famous one was Leeds, I think, wasn't it? Was it just don't go to bed just yet, Leeds fans? You know, there's still some business to be done at like 12:45, and then he just loaned a striker out. They loaned a striker out to Fulham, and you're like... thanks for that. Yeah. You know, I've stayed up for that. Yeah, but, you know, Liverpool at least didn't do that. There was no sort of eyes and clock ticking and, you know, stay tuned at 10:30 or whatever it may be. But yeah, it was never going to go down well on the day. But then I don't think it was going to go down well or that well any time around this end of August, start of September, just because tensions were heightened or not even tensions, because I think we can overplay that. I think just more... because of everything else that was going on in the world at that time, football-wise, you know, United are signing X, Chelsea have signed this, Manchester City trying to do this, whatever it may be, a new contract doesn't really hit the same.
It's like, you know, it's the thing as well, because you say it's negative if you don't do something for Nat Phillips, but you're talking about the best players in the world here. You know, this is like, we've seen examples of, was it Yaya Toure who got upset at Man City because he didn't get a birthday cake?
Yeah.
You know, and that gets remembered. Like, 100%. That's one of the best midfielders in the league talking about a stupid thing like a birthday cake being a thing that upsets. And we've gone from being the club that, like, didn't give Steven Gerrard, the best midfielder of his generation, enough love at the club. And now that, at least, I mean, again, this is not going to absolve Liverpool of not being perfect in the transfer market, but what they are being very good at doing is a lot. They've gotten better at a lot of stuff that they used to be awful at. And so Alisson gets that moment of, here's your new contract, and he gets a load of love. He gets sent a load of love. Yeah. Oh, brilliant! Thanks for staying, Ali. Oh, we love you and all
that. And that's probably maybe if he was a more sensitive person, Jordan might be thinking, thanks for that. Like, you know, I'm reading the replies here, and there's not many saying congratulations, Skipper, on your new deal. Most of them are saying, well, where's the signing? So maybe there is that. Maybe that's why it's Jordan's in the sense of not Salah's. And you know, maybe someone like Salah maybe would be thinking, you've hung me out to dry a little bit.
Why did Adrian's first?
Possibly. I mean, you know, I do. It's hard. It is a horrible world sometimes you live in where you think you see a tweet go out from the club site or a post or on Facebook or whatever, and you think, oh, like that's going to attract. The first raft of comments are going to be, you know, on this day we signed.
Magnets.
Yeah, on this day we signed Alberto Moreno, and you know what's coming. You know that kind of thing. And you think, here we go. But that's just the world we live in, unfortunately. And I would say, and I did, I posted on my pages and the usual, and I do read the comments, and the vast majority were very, very positive about not necessarily the overall world, but the bare fact Jordan's staying at Liverpool and he's happy to, and you know, he's still very much a part of the club.
Let's talk about the Nat Phillips and Reece Williams stuff, because I think it's fair to say they're connected.
Yeah. Interesting one. Just like, I'll be honest, midday, as late as mid, probably early afternoon, I still thought Nat Phillips was leaving Liverpool, and I think he went into the day thinking he was probably going to be leaving Liverpool. I wouldn't say I think it's the right decision from Liverpool. I think they've, and I've said this consistently throughout the summer, they should have kept Nat Phillips till January because of what happened last year. And I think they owed it to themselves and to the supporters to be double bagged in that area. Yeah. If you want to go that way, you know, you don't want to, I'd rather have an unhappy fifth choice centre back than, you know, three injured centre-backs and two out on loan or two out who've been sold.
Which is a situation, by the way, that people are clamouring for in the attack and in the midfield. And anyway, and Liverpool are clearly doing it in the defence.
Correct. And I think that proved last year that if you need a fifth choice centre back, he's probably around the, about the best about. I would suggest I couldn't go too deep into other team squads, but I think there's not many who'd be better than that Phillips as a fifth choice centre back. Bear in mind you've got four specialists and you've probably got a fifth in Fabinho if you want a sort of an in-game change. So I think he's there. From Phillips' point of view, I think it's probably like half Christmas. I think I've heard it described to me as it's sort of like Merry Christmas, there's your pay rise, but probably would have got more if he'd have moved. Probably would have, well, certainly would have got more football if he'd have moved. So I can see a painted smile, if you like, a little bit of a thank you, but what am I going to do?
This is the thing, you don't see where he gets a game between now and January.
No, it's very tough. Even in the League Cup, it's tough, isn't it? Because then those two are going to come in, aren't they? They're the centre-back, Gomez and Canate, unless Gomez plays at right-back if you've got an injury to Nico or as we have at the moment. But it is difficult. But then it was difficult to see where Nat Phillips was going to play last season at any point. Never mind. It was difficult to see him getting on the bench last season and he ended up playing 20 games. So that needs taken into account. And there's obviously a lot of international breaks coming up. There's this one, obviously, still to finish, which we're all crossing our fingers for. But then there's one next month, there's one in November as well. So there's a lot of room for mishaps to happen in that regards. And
Virgil van Dijk nearly got clotheslined by a small person in a hoodie. Did you see this?
I didn't see this. No,
so yeah,
no,
he was
no.
doing his post-match interview and some fan come on looking for a selfie. Can he just rent?
Right. Stay away from the knee, please. Yes, thank you. But we've seen incidents remember Adrian getting done by a fan slipping over an advertising board in the Super Cup last year. There's COVID still is looming. Obviously, there's still room for that to cause chaos among squads. So I don't think it's any bad thing at all to have Nat Phillips at the club. And I think the new contract is as much about reward as anything. I think it's more thank you for everything you did last season. And also now Nat Phillips is on a 4 or 5 year contract that if he does play a couple of games and keep his value up, the value is still there to sell in January or next summer.
There's a bit of a situation. The only potential downside with this, and we've kind of seen this a little bit with Origi, is that if Nat Phillips is cool to go into training and work his bollocks off and not show any sign of dissent and be the best Nat Phillips he can be and wait for those rare opportunities when he gets given his chance and then he performs in them, then wow, if you can manage that, then you've managed your squad brilliantly and you've got a brilliant squad as a result. But what you've also potentially got is, yes, you've protected his value a little bit by giving him that contract.
Come 2 years' time.
But what if he turns around and goes, I'm all right, actually.
Yeah, I don't think he would. I mean, I spoke to him, I interviewed him early in the summer and the quotes are there to see, really. He says, I've wasted a lot of time in my career. He started late, didn't make his professional debut until he was, 23, I think, 22, 23. Had to go to Bundesliga 2 to get his break into football, came back. Then he's had to have this mad sort of situation where he's played one game for Liverpool because they just wanted to beat Everton in a cup game and that was it, and then send him back, and then he's had last season. So I don't think he's of that way where he feels like he wants to waste his career. I think he's taken the option, and I think it's basically based on the fact that Liverpool asked for too much money this summer, and I think there was no sign of a club paying what Liverpool wanted. So he's taken the lesser of the evils and thought, I'll bank on potentially getting the opportunity, and I'll bank on maybe January or next year I'll get me move.
And you wonder whether there's been a little bit of that in his ear as well. See how we go till January, because there's nothing to be done. What happens if you get injuries in January? But once you're in that stage of the season, shit happens.
Yeah, if you've got Virgil, Joe Gomez, Matip, three of those, and Canate, and they've all been available for pretty much every game. I think you can make that judgment call. You might have Billy Kometio's come up into become a position where you think, if we need a lad on the bench, he's the guy we can do with. You might be 10 points clear at the top of the league. Might be, obviously. Yeah. There could be options there. If not, it might be a next summer job where you look at it, but Yeah, it's. I don't think it's any bad thing from Liverpool's point of view. Never mind, you know, we can talk about Nat's situation, but I think from Liverpool's point of view, I don't think it's a bad thing at all to have him in the squad. I think he's a top professional, and he's shown last year that he's a player who can come in a difficult situation out of the blue and do a job.
Was that then, they've clearly had conversations with Swansea, or was that a last minute, like with Reece Williams, to go, well, this is Napton, phone around and see if anyone wants him, or was that,
no,
that
no,
would have
I
been
think,
ready to go?
No, I think probably the offer was for, well, I know the offer was for Reece. I think maybe the ideal world might have been that on the loan, but I think he's probably above that level. And I think the contract Liverpool have given that would take him above that level wage-wise as well, in the sense of...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's a Premier League contract now for Nat Phillips. I think it develops Reece more. I think it does a loan to the Championship does more for Reece than it does for Nat. It still would have done a fair bit for Nat in terms of giving him game time. Mm-hmm. But I think you look at Reece and you say, well, what does he need to learn? He needs to learn the consistency and that sort of the basics of defending, probably in terms of the muck and bullets. That's what he'll get in the Championship. He'll get that intensity. I mean, I spoke to Reece after he played Everton in the under-23s, but just bumped into him and he'd actually done me a bit of a favour with a video for someone, and I just said, oh, thanks for that, how are you feeling? And he said, I'm like the Tin Man. He said, I haven't done 90 minutes since the Palace game back in May. That was his first one, and that was, what, 10 days ago. So he obviously needs to get up to speed. He needs to get that rhythm, but that's a young lad playing centre-back. He needs that.
Yeah.
I think Phillips is more in tune with his body. I think he's more aware of what type of player he is, what type of defender he is, his limitations and that kind of thing. I think Reece still needs to find that sort of level of, you know, okay, what am I amazing at? And I think he's pretty good on the ball. I think he's obviously he's tall, he's got that physical stature. What do I need to improve on?
Finishing inside the box.
Finishing inside the box. I think you know, making sure I'm not exposed on the turn. I think that's yeah. Reece's basic one. Defending the penalty area probably would be in there. And I think Swansea, hopefully, decent club. They've had good experience with Rian Brewster a couple of seasons ago, albeit with a different manager. Demanding crowd, you know, team that plays a bit of football, you know, and has an expectation to play a bit of football from the stands. I think it'll do him the world of good.
Yeah, it seems like a solid move for him, really, doesn't it? And I agree on the Nat Phillips stuff. There's a degree to which he's managed to make himself a Premier League player.
Yeah.
A Championship loan almost might, it's like you're resetting people's expectations.
A little bit like Harry Wilson last year. I mean, that was last minute, wasn't it? Harry Wilson sort of, I know from speaking to him, I'm plugging interviews that I've done left, right and centre, but I spoke to him and he said, yeah, I didn't see myself going to the Championship. He'd had a good season at Bournemouth, but it was late in the window. He wanted to go to the Euros with Wales. He knew he had to play games. That was on the table. And he's ended up back in the Championship at Fulham, when I would probably suggest he's probably a Premier League player, Harry Wilson. Certainly a lower-end Premier League player, or middle to lower-end.
Yeah.
And maybe sometimes that can just be a perception thing that people say, well, where was he last year? He was at Cardiff. Okay, that means he's plays in the Championship.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. There's a difference, particularly when you reach an age, you're not plucking a gem out of there. You're a senior age, you're a senior player all of a sudden.
Potentially, you know, with Reece, with Harry, maybe the option for them is you become a Premier League player by getting out of the Championship.
Yeah.
You know, rather than just by being plucked, like you say, by being plucked by a Premier League club.
Obviously, we did sign a player. It was Ibrahima Konate. We've long discussed him, so that's cool. But Liverpool did sign someone else, albeit a youth player, Bobby Clark from Newcastle.
Like a new signing.
Yeah, he's literally a new signing. Look, Liverpool have... The one thing I'd say in this, and I remember doing this a couple of years ago, is that I always... People can talk about Liverpool's fear of or Liverpool's owners, a fear of committing to investments in players and stuff, but there's never been any like miss. They throw money at the academy, you know. They spend well and consistently to bring young talent in there.
They've had a bit of different types of success, I suppose, haven't they? As well in that regards. I mean, money they made out of Ryan Brewster, I mentioned earlier. Jordan Ive, they made a fair bit out of. Raheem Sterling, you know, before that, huge win from them. You know, what was it, £500,000 turned into £50 million with some good service in between as well. We've seen one who went out on deadline day, Shea Ojo was signed, I think it was 14 when he joined Liverpool, and haven't quite had the return on that. But yeah, you're right, they do freshen that up. And it's a weird one, the academy, because you see Chelsea lost a lot of players this summer from their academy, and people sort of say, well, what's going on down at Chelsea? We've seen City lose Jadon Sancho, and Rabi Matondo was another one who left City's academy. I mean, Liverpool took players from City when they were 14. I mean, Bobby Duncan was one, Rafa Camacho. So you always lose players at academy level, if you like, but Liverpool do seem to be willing to go and get those 15, 16-year-olds and give them a chance. I mean, we've seen January, Kate Gordon comes in to the 18 setup. Stefan Bacetic came in from Celta Vigo. Callum Scanlon was brought in from Birmingham. We'll see him with the 18s this season. Before that, there's been others. I mean, Kiana Hoover, Sepp Vandenberg, Billy Cometio. So they are willing to pick up those players. And it is a little bit of throwing darts at the wall. It is a bit like, you know, look, we've signed 10 players in 2 years. If one of them comes through, we'll be happy. But generally, the aim is get a couple through that can compete and challenge for the first team, and let's see. And if not, let's turn the others into players we can sell.
And I guess it's interesting because you're right, because the K Gordon one is the one that stands out most recently, because you can already see what a player they've got there. A lot of that with the bits and pieces I've heard around Bobby Clark is he seems to be very Newcastle are not happy that this has gone.
I think that's definitely it. I mean, he's the son of a Newcastle legend in Lee Clark. I mean, if you see him, you can tell he's Lee Clark's son. It's like a throwback to the early 90s with looking at him. He's England youth international. Obviously, he's got a bit of talent. You can tell sometimes with players like that, and I always think about that when you see that England under 17 side that won the youth World Youth Cup with Hudson-Odoi and Sancho and Brewster and Phil Foden, that they were all very close. And you see when he signed, there was a lot of players who you recognise around that England sort of under 18, under 17 setup, who were like, congratulations, mate, congratulations, bro, go and smash it. So he's obviously got some status in amongst that. And so it'll be interesting to see. He's a wide player, obviously. I think he scored on his debut. They played Watford in a behind closed doors at St George's Park. What was it? Saturday of the Chelsea game, I think. Got his goal. So we'll see how he develops. But yeah, you're right, Newcastle Newcastle have not got a great record with their academy. And you look at Armstrong and Tony, who are both in the Premier League now, were both at Newcastle and never got anywhere through. You look at Longstaff's just gone out on loan up to Aberdeen, and I think he was the one who scored against United. They haven't really brought too many players through. For a club like Newcastle, you would think that would be a massive focus for them.
The Athletic put an article out today, and I got a graph of like where players are coming from and how many are brought in, how many are promoted, and what have you. And like, in terms of promoted from the academy, the Premier League's getting worse for that. You're right, it's insane that Newcastle, who clearly have had some major financial issues, aren't just doing that.
And not just like... PR issues as well. You think of Newcastle, if Mike Ashley wanted to, I mean, maybe he's too far gone for this, but Steve Bruce, for example, could say, do you know what, right, I'm going to give you a team that you can be proud of, Geordie's, get behind these two. I mean, I'm not saying Bobby Clark, by the way, I'm just saying generally. It's hard to do it, isn't it? But I think Newcastle is one of those clubs that probably could get away with doing things like that. And you look at how much they love Alan Shearer's and Peter Beardsley.
Do you think that's what they're doing, signing the lad that they signed from the Goal Films?
That's a bold move.
Literally signed the kid.
I wonder if they get the guy, the blonde-haired lad who played behind him.
The not Craig Bellamy.
I wonder if they get him. But listen, we'll see how he gets on at Liverpool. I spoke to Lee, his dad. Just sent him a message saying, well, congratulations to Bobby, welcome. And he said, he's made up, great club. And Lee Clark, by all accounts, is a very knowledgeable football person. And I think he'll have had a big say in where this lad ends up, and he wants him at Liverpool, which bodes well for Liverpool. Lee Clark also, should point out, big mates with Terry McDermott as well. So there'll have been, a sentimental aspect, I think, to that as well, to see his lad go to Newcastle. So fingers crossed he does well. All the better for Liverpool if he does.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got a super chat come in here. If anyone's got any comments or whatever, we're going to be doing a deeper dive. And this comment does kind of hint towards what we're going to be doing on the next show. But Gareth Baird with the super chat saying, we needed to sign backups that are better than Origi. I believe we need FSG to go because they don't understand football. I think that's a couple of different things. Let's unpick the Origi stuff first and foremost. I think if you were to look at Liverpool's squad, he's the one who's there, he's been there. Yeah. We know him inside and out. So there's no, we know what he's capable of, and what he's capable of isn't disrupting our established 11 or 12.
And I think it's diminishing as well. Yeah. It's been diminishing for a couple of seasons. I completely agree. I think it's hard. I think that's a little, what I don't like about it is it puts it on Origi. And it puts it on that he's in some way like this obstruction to Liverpool doing what they're doing, and I don't think that's the case. It is his fault that because he did well, but he got given the new contract. It's not up to him to say, you know what, guys, you need a better player than me on the bench.
It's not really
let me get out of your hair. That's not his call. Liverpool gave him the contract. It's up to them to if they want rid of him. And if the manager doesn't trust him, then that's down to them to do. I agree. I think Minamino. And it hit home for me on the weekend, to be honest. And I've said it all summer. I was amazed. I would be amazed if Liverpool didn't sign. I wasn't amazed he didn't do it on deadline day. I was amazed it got that far without them making a sign. And I think it probably, I sort of swung a little bit between midfield and forward. The more it goes on, it was forward. And the reason was, you look at Minamino on the bench. On Saturday, there was no way he was coming on.
Yeah, my exact.
He was never coming on in that game unless Liverpool were 4-0 up, which you were never going to be, really. So that tells you something, doesn't it, about him? And I also think Minamino never changes the dynamic of the game. He might keep you close to whatever's been going on beforehand.
I don't even think we've seen enough of that.
But he's not changing the dynamic. So it's not a case of I'm just thinking of Adama Traore as an example, where you go, we tried A, B and C. Now we're just going to send on this lad who's 90 mile an hour and we'll see what he can do. Minamino doesn't do that. And that's for me is what Liverpool are lacking. It's just one more game-changing substitution. Origi was a little bit of that at the time because he got into position sometimes in the penalty area where you're like, how has he ended up there? Pickford being a great example.
Newcastle.
Probably Firmino doesn't score that goal, I imagine. Yeah, Newcastle, ball in from the wide, he flicks it on. Even the Champions League Barcelona goals are very much centre-forwards goals, but he hasn't been doing that for long enough and he hasn't been doing it to a high enough level. So that's for me, that's the problem is Liverpool probably. They've got four very, very good forwards, which, by the way, is to be celebrated, but you'd like one more, I think.
Yeah.
Especially when you play three at all times.
You're right. The general sense, I agree with Gareth's comment there, that it feels like, and Shaqiri was a bit of this as well, and obviously he's moved on now. So I think if you're telling me you're doing a straight swap for Shaqiri for Elliot, well, we've got a lad who you can see already that he fits in a completely new position.
Yeah.
He's played better in that position than Shaqiri did in the game time he was given, and he's a senior international, top caliber player. So I'm cool with that. But that Origi and increasingly Minamino look like those break glass options. They look like if everyone else is dead, we'll put these in, and at least we're not putting kids in. We're not putting Tyler Morton or whatever into a situation where they're not ready for.
Yeah, I think so, and I think they're both. both better than the ones who really want them out would say. They're not terrible footballers by any stretch of the matter. And I imagine
they can win football matches.
And I imagine they train brilliant. And I can well imagine watching training sessions and going, well, they should be in the side. And I've heard Andy Lonergan say about Origi, saying when you watch him in training, you would not believe how good he is. But they haven't got the trust of the manager, and that's the only thing that matters, really. You know, it doesn't matter what me and you think about Takumi Minamino or where he might play or what he's done at Salzburg or, you know, what type of game might suit him. The chances are the manager isn't going to pick him unless, like you say, it's a bit of an emergency option where we literally, Roberto Firmino is down to 1% battery and we have to put someone in, or, you know, someone's pulled a hamstring and we've got this.
I think a lot of clubs have got bits and pieces like that, but I don't think that my point to all this is I don't think those options at other football clubs or anything like as good as that. But I agree, the Origi stuff. It was 2 years ago. He could have gone on a high. I'd probably had a better pick of where he wants to go.
I agree. I mean, it would have been difficult, I suppose, for Liverpool. It would have been.
You can't buy a better player for the money you're going to get for him.
Probably. And also, if you sell Origi immediately after that Champions League, then you do have that sort of, God, it's a bit brutal, you know. There is an element to that. And also, maybe you do get accused then of, you are being very, very opportunistic, and you are this, you know, what FSG are accused of all the time is sort of maximising it. If you sell a man who's just literally won you the European Cup, Liverpool, actually, I don't think they did do it, but they almost did it with Dudek.
I was going to say, ask Jersey Dudek.
Yeah, but he had another year. He did keep another year, didn't he? Smita was out of contract.
Did he, man?
Yeah, I think he had another year as well, didn't he? I think he played another season on at Liverpool. Reina was already signed. But yeah, you're right. You can be. There is room for that brutality. Yeah. But I think Origi still. I mean, he actually started the first game of the following season, didn't he? He scored in the first game against Norwich. And I think Liverpool were right to keep him, but I think maybe the contract was a bit, you know, it's tied them into this situation, but that's
just not his fault. Just to do the last part of Gareth's comment there, and he says, I believe FSG need to go because they don't understand football. Now, I think that's a dangerous one. What I've noticed is a lot of this is FSG's become this like catch-all phrase for everything when... I think there's a way in which Liverpool are structured, and I agree broadly that I don't think John Henry is a student of the game. I don't think Tom Werner is a student of the game. I think Mike Gordon is more so, but also that I think that was an issue 5 years ago, 6 years ago, that I think has been rectified by who they've put in place to run the football club.
Exactly what I was going to say is their MO is to put, we haven't got the expertise, but we know the guys who have, and they're in charge. So the research department, the medical department, the commercial department, and Michael Edwards being the main man, and I'm sure we'll talk more about him on the extra show. So to put these decisions at FSG's door is not always right. And I'm talking about the footballing, who's in the squad and who isn't out, who hasn't been sold, or the asking price to get put on. That's down to Michael Edwards is the guy who decides.
Yeah.
Or his team are the guys who decide, well, we think Nat Phillips is worth £12 million. Well, we do think Jordan Henderson's worth a four-year contract. That is very, very rare that would be, it'd be a thing of, right, you want to sell Origi? No. FSG have pressed the button from Boston and they say, no, he stays. It doesn't happen. Yeah. You know, they back those people to make those decisions.
Does it mean the role, Lord, broadly is, FSG go, here's the money that's available.
Yeah.
And here's, roughly speaking, what we want. So they say, here's the money, we want a self-sustaining business. We don't want to have to spend our own money.
Yeah, exactly. And look,
which I'm not saying good or bad.
Part of the Michael Edwards remit, probably, well, certainly is, this is what we can give you, roughly, to spend. If you want to get rid of people, then you do what you think's best.
Yeah.
You know, and you can keep that. And Liverpool have done okay this summer with getting rid of players. And there's some they've done better than others. I think they got less than his value for Shaqiri, personally.
Yeah.
I think they probably got fair prices for Wilson and Gruitch.
Yeah.
I think Teo, they got good money for, but I think that may well be shown in years to come that possibly he's not a bad player in, and maybe he'd be worth more than that. But then they're covered by Salah.
He'll be worth more than 6.5 by the end of the season if he can score the way he's been scoring.
I saw his Instagram. There's only two players ahead of him in the Bundesliga, and we all know who they are. One of them's Polish, and the other one's Norwegian. But it's 3 games or 4 games in. Yeah. But I think they got okay deals generally, but less than they would have got in a normal world, and probably Origi and maybe Minamino, maybe Naft, Nico, possibly a couple of those might have been in the sphere as well. But that's where the criticism of FSG can come is the entire model is the model of where, like you say, we're not just giving you a little injection of 50 million because we feel nice. It's all linked to what the club's making, how the club's working, and it is all done with a little less sentiments, I would say. You know, United have bought Ronaldo. There's a hard business angle to it, but really there's a lot of it's down to sentiment and a lot of it's down to sort of image of the club, I think. And Liverpool don't really do that. You know, Liverpool don't cave an awful lot to those kind of things. They might do in terms of climbing down on off-field decisions about ticket prices or Super League or whatever, but they don't really... It's not. I don't think FSG would ever have been reading Twitter and saying, "Should we give him a striker here because we're getting loads here on, you know, there's a hashtag here that's saying that." Don't really.
There's not
like
going to come a day where again something riles them up where they go, right, that's it, and they roll the sleeves up and come in with two suitcases full of money.
What are you going to say now? There's Mbappe and Haaland. What are you going to say now? You
know,
it would be lovely if they did, and I wonder what criticism would come their way then if they did. But I think I wouldn't lay the football decisions at their door, but is the point I'm trying to make. I think, and I would lay an awful lot at Klopp and Edwards in the sense of they work really close. Mike Gordon as the third of the triangle, if you like, they work closely, and there would be, I would imagine, there's not much, and I think he will say as much as this in his next press conference. I would imagine there's not much that Jürgen's too unhappy about in terms of the football side of it, but maybe the one thing would be, if we could have got Divock out, I wouldn't have minded having a really quick lad or a really tall lad or, you know, a really skillful lad on the bench.
Yeah. Gareth actually just followed up. He said, I didn't know that was how they structure the club. My anger towards them is because of lack of funds and letting Edwards go. And again, the funds thing is, the funds thing, for me, again, and this is, people can choose to be riled up by this stuff or not. If I thought Liverpool, if they'd had precedent for this kind of thing where, a bit like Abramovich, for example. So Abramovich goes from throwing money at a problem and then they have those few years in the middle, a few years ago, where they stop spending money.
Yeah.
I'd be like, where's your fucking money gone,
Abramovich?
Because we've been told that happens at the way
Randy
the football
Randy Lehner at Aston Villa was a wonderful example of that. I know we're not comparing Aston Villa to Liverpool, the scales too, but Randy Lehner came in, American owner, sports experience, built a pretty good side, Martin O'Neill. You know, I think they were sort of top six. They had Milner, they had Barry, they had Ashley Young, Stuart Downing.
Just the 24 million on Darren Bent.
And then all of a sudden, Randy Lehner said, I'm not making any money out of this. Plug pulled. And you saw what happened to Villa and you saw the damage that it did to them. Whether it was, I mean, some of it was bad recruitment. They had a spell where they were buying a lot of French players and it just didn't work for them. They went through managers and it went. So I can see that. Liverpool have been, apart from probably the first year of FSG when they did the and Stuart Downing comes into it again, but you know, they had him, they had Jordan, they had Carroll, Suarez, and even that was a little bit, you know, paid for by some sales with Torres. But apart from that, they have pretty much run the club the way that they have. It's been pretty traceable, is the way I'd put it. You know, where the money's come from, where the money's gone, Yeah, it's a tough one because it's a fundamental. Fundamentally, it's about, there's only really two angles to it. There's either the Liverpool way where they say, well, look, we're self-sustainable, or there's the way that says we're going to go laissez-faire and we're going to say money in the air and we're going to dance around and spend what we need. And I don't know, there's something about both approaches that I can see the disappointment in it. But
neither approach guarantees success.
Yeah, and I think Liverpool would rather, and I think a lot of Liverpool fans would rather the way that they are doing it, if they can get success that way. I think that maybe is the question that's coming, is if you can get the success that way. They've shown that they could.
Yeah, and that's
can they sustain it?
Exactly, and that's another unknown, isn't it? And the questions 4 years ago, 5 years ago, were, does this work? And yeah. The way we were sat here going, well, hang on, all the best players and all the big contracts all getting shipped out. Gerrard's gone, Carragher's gone.
I've had people, reasonable people say to me, we will never win the league with this ownership. And I've listened to it and thought, This is four or five years ago. We will never win the league with this ownership. I sort of see where you're coming from, because Manchester City and because of Chelsea, and obviously United will always find ways and whatever. But they did. I think now the question, the goalposts move, then don't they? And it's, can you do it again? And also, can you live with that drop off from there to?
I'm not sure you can do it as consistently as Man City without the finances of Man City, but we've seen it's possible, and that's what football is for me. That's what sports life is. It's all about chance.
Yeah,
you know. Okay, yeah. There's some things that are longer shots than others, but again, in the absence of something, it's not like there's someone sat there going, "I'm prepared to do it the Man City way for Liverpool."
Yeah,
because I think we could have a really interesting debate about the merits of that. If someone was sat there on the sidelines going, "Come on, put me in, give me a go. I've got the money here to go and make Liverpool like Man City."
Liverpool is an incredibly valuable club at the moment in terms of the price of it is astronomical, as we've seen with the Forbes lists and whatever else. FSG, if they've done nothing else. And they have done other things in terms of the infrastructure of the club, the success of the club, the moments they've given, or the team and the club has given the fans down the years. They've also added incredible amounts of value to the cost of Liverpool, which is good in one way, but also if you are looking to get FSG out, then you are asking for someone to come in and, you know.
And I say, cool. Like I'm all in if there was maybe some morally cleaner individuals than some of the ones who are currently doing it with the bottomless pit of funds around the world, but you know, again, I don't see Man City fans complaining.
You don't want much; you just want perfection.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I get Gareth's comment. Yeah. I think I get where it all comes from with fans. It all comes from wanting perfection, and there's nothing wrong with that. It goes back to results on the field. A 1-1 draw with Chelsea is seen as a disappointment, which it's fine, but it's not, you know, if you want perfection all the time, you are going to be disappointed quite a lot of it.
No, it's true. The guy did actually ask, he just mentioned the Edward stuff, right? We've gone well long on this, longer than I ever thought possible a day after Liverpool or 2 days after Liverpool didn't sign anyone in the transfer window. But we're going to dive into the Edward stuff and more about FSG and Liverpool's ownership and what it means and the reaction to it and this whole, you know, honestly quite tiresome in or out thing, because I say, you know, we were talking before, there's obviously people who are very staunchly out, which as a reaction leads to people being staunchly in, but I generally don't really think anyone, there are no FSG in banners, is what I say. There's no FSG in fan group. Yeah. There's not really one out, to be fair.
It's not really the same as the manager, is it?
You know, no, exactly.
The manager in and out is a sort of a decision that can be made. This is something that requires a bit more than, you know, in or out talk, because they own the club. They're not just sort of, you know, involved as a head office and, you know, in a position. So it is difficult to have that serious conversation about, do they need to be out?
Can I just say, having literally been through the process of buying businesses in the past, it is one of the most, like, I bought houses and that's really stressful. Buying businesses is infinitely more complicated.
I have trouble buying trainers, never mind. that's stressful enough for me, buying trainers, never mind football clubs.
Just lastly, can I drop one more in? He says, I drive for Amazon, I'll get Bezos to buy us. Yeah, sure, why not? He'll move Anfield to the moon or something, and then let's see how we all feel about that. Right, yes, we're going to be doing Inside Extra. As I say, the things that we sort of started to pick up on there, we're going to go a bit more in depth on them. It was all about the idea of like ultra negatives versus ultra positives, the fall, a bit more of the fallout from the window, some of the stuff that was done around and how that made everyone feel, and whether there's any club that genuinely feels happy with their existence and their transfer business. You'd be surprised. The answer is no, but let's discuss why. If you want to get that, it'll be up a little bit later on this afternoon. We're going to be recording it now on the redmentv.com. Hope to see it over there. And if you want to come over and join up, if you join us Club Legend, we've got another amazing competition for you guys. If you want to upgrade from your existing subscription up to that as well, then you can get involved. But yeah, the details will follow. See you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.